My name is Mela Jaasma. I'm born in the Netherlands and moved to Indonesia in 84. And in 1988, together with Nidijo Adi Purnomo, my Indonesian husband, we founded the Cimete Art Gallery. It was called in that time the Cimete Art Gallery. Now we changed its name into Cimete Art House since 1999. And it actually had to do with moving to a new venue. So first we had just the front room of our house, what we rented. We turned it into a gallery space, and later on we built a new venue to host our programs and exhibitions. Also because we wanted to change this policy, so not only as a gallery, because it often has this feeling that it's only commercial, and our policy actually is much more going into all kinds of programs, also art-related programs, so not only on visual art, but also connected with other disciplines like dance, music, literature, of research program, working together with universities and things like that. So that's why we thought, okay, the Cimete Art House is much more an open name, so we can just host all kinds of different programs, although our main focus is still visual art. We came to on the name Cimete because actually it means whipping up, like whipping up a horse. And we really wanted to get the art scene moving or stimulate the artist. It was more meant like that. And the word comes from Sanskrit, and it's not a very well-known name in the sense people not really understand the meaning of it, but they've heard about it. It's not like what you use every day, but people kind of understand. And the funny thing is, when we started it, our first venue was very very close to the water castle of the Sultan, in the Sultan's palace area. And also the original old name of that water castle is also called Cimete. So we didn't know that when we started it, so it just had to be like that. We started the Cimete Gallery. The art scene was very in the beginning, in the sense that there is a big art institute in Yogyakarta. It's called ISI, or Institut Seni Indonesia. So there are many art students coming from all over all the islands to study art in Yogyakarta. But once they were graduated in that time, they all moved to Jakarta or to Bali, where the art market was. So we really tried to set up a space and give just a space for young artists to develop themselves and to show their work. And bring it into a discussion, things like that. Moved from, say, because our space was very limited, only 4 by 7 meters, so mostly we had like solo exhibitions, and then slowly we developed it into more like projects, stimulating artists also to develop themselves in residencies abroad or studies, or we brought them to other venues to exhibit their works. So actually, we are more like a kind of information center. Also, many people came to us to know, if they wanted to know what was going on in art in Indonesia, they finally just came to us and asked for information. And that's why also we started to make files of artists, collect information, made photograph slides in that time of their works. And that also finally we came up with the idea of to set up a foundation in 1995, so that's what we started with the Cimete Art Foundation. So all our archives that we set up through the years, we hosted in that foundation, also with the idea that more people could be involved and could develop this archive and making more education projects. And we moved to our new venue, the Cimete Art House, and this was actually interesting because it's just bigger in size. So we can host also group exhibitions, more curated exhibitions. We also host like workshops and discussions, artist talks, all kinds of different events actually. And besides that, we also still very much stimulate the artists to not only practice in their own place, but also go abroad, for example. And that's also why it's very important to have this archive, or to make documentation of the artists and of the projects what we did, because then we can kind of promote them for curators who pass by from many different countries who are searching for artists to put them in the biennales and triennales and things like that. So, I think this is one of our main works actually, just to give a lot of information, and then besides that we still continue with all our programs. at least we have 12 exhibitions a year, and then we do workshops, we connect artists with other art organizations, so we often work together also with, say, universities, but also, for example, environmental NGO groups. Now, we're doing a project in villages to revitalize the theater groups in the villages, because the most alive art form in the village is actually the performing arts. So actually, we do many, many, many different things. It just depends where the need is. Yeah. What we went through, of course, had very much to do with technical development. Like, for example, when we started the art space, we didn't have any, not even telephone or fax, because nobody else had also telephone, so we just couldn't telephone anybody. So we worked 3 years without any telephone, and then slowly the fax came in and the email, and especially the internet opened up a very much a wider network. And also because of that, it was just much easier to have more exchange programs, so more foreign artists coming in. And for example, also we started a residency project since a few years ago. So it makes it all easier and faster. And what is interesting also that we get more people involved. So we started just very simple and very, very, how do you say? Yeah, only with the two of us. And now we have four staff members. I think this is also a very important part of our activities. I mean, it's not only hosting the artists and be part of the discourse and show something to the public. But I think the whole thing of art management is also very our concern, because it's not something you can study in school here. So we really try to give a place for young curators or art managers, or even to learn people how to make documentation, for example. So, and then we also found out that actually people who want to work with us, mostly the young people. So we often have it's like a cycle of like every 3 years. We have to teach new staff, you know, and then they move to other venues to continue their practices. But I think this is also a very important part of what we're doing. So we train actually the people who want to work with artists and bring the discourse further, you know. Different art scene in that time, because also it was only between, say, art spaces which were set up by government institutions or institutions like from the newspaper in Indonesia, the Kompas, it's very important. But then there was not any, how do you say, the whole system of curatorial things did not exist, so there were no curators in that time. So, yeah, it was just we had to do everything ourselves. And I think this was also interesting for the artists, you know. They felt like, okay, the contribution was just like, okay, we do work, but we also connect to the public. We are part of the discussion of searching for new things. And yeah, if you compare with the art scene nowadays, I think it's quite different, because of course everybody got into the change of curated exhibitions, and of course the dominated art market has a very big impact on the art scene, also in Indonesia. I mean, I think everywhere in Asia, especially, but also in Indonesia, it's very strong, especially the last few years. It's kind of dominating the whole development, actually. And it's also interesting to see how other people see us, you know. Like, we were always seen as the place where the new things happened, where something different was happening than at other spaces. And then slowly we were seen as the established art space. So in the end of the 90s, especially when we moved to our bigger venue, then suddenly we got a kind of stamp, oh, now they're established. But the strange thing, if you're in it yourself, you don't feel established, because you don't see yourself as establishment, right? And also we thought, yeah, why people look at us as established? Because there is no other thing. Like, we don't have any contemporary art museum or national gallery. There is a national gallery, but it's not that there are like people working with expertise. It's more like in Jakarta you can rent a space, actually. It's not really like it's the place where curators are setting the trends or showing the most important art things. So we were actually seen as established because we were always kind of consistent in our vision and our structure of organization. And so I think, yeah, this was especially in the beginning of the 2000 and the end of the 90s, this was a very, for us it was difficult because we didn't want it to be seen as established, but I think that time also not so many other art spaces were existing except the commercial galleries. So yeah, we certainly got that stamp, you know. And then now slowly it changed again because the dominance of the art market. So suddenly we are seen as a kind of alternative again, or a gallery which shows something different out of the mainstream of, say, sellable art. And I think this is also important to keep it in that direction, because we still always see that there is not enough space for, say, different ways of art making. So in the end it's only seen, like, especially with visual art, like there's only one way of doing visual art, and that's a thing that you can sell and becomes a commodity. So I think it's very much to always to rethink about what visual art can be and what kind of function it can have. And so we try, yeah, we always try to, how do you say, to look for different ways of expression and different ways of how to deal with art. So art can be like a tool to break up some taboos, or art can be a tool to bring some discussions further or in the discourse, things like that. So I think it's, yeah, it's still very much important. And actually it goes actually back to the vision of our, in the beginning that we had, you know. So I think in the end we did not really change much in our aim of our goal of our organization, but it's just that how other people look at us that changed, I think. Yeah. In 1988, it was just more like an experiment. Okay, just try it, you know, because there was not any, say, art market for works, not non-paintings, you know, even drawings. There was no people interested in drawings, for example. So we really tried to combine say, showing something different, but then at the same time also try to support the artist by selling works. And it was a need because, yeah, until now, actually, for example, the Indonesian government doesn't see the importance of, say, art spaces like us or art organizations like us. So there is no support. Only support there is from foreigners. And so it's always the discussion. Do you want to depend on foreign money, or do you want to be half commercial? So we finally decided then, okay, just also to support the artists, because they also have to make a living. It's not that you only look for support. If you look for support like fundings from abroad, it's only for your own organization, but then not necessarily also the artists have a benefit. So we decided to build up a stock room, as we call it. So it's our commercial part. And from that stock room we sell small works. And this mostly, yeah, support the artworks to create all the other works that they want to do, like a lot of installation and video art and many different projects. And I think it's for us it works the best as the formula. So for special projects we look for special funding, also to make publications, for example. But for our organization, just the operational cost, so far we always could get it from the 30% commission that we get on the works that we sell. And of course there are good times and bad times, and always have the idea, okay, the thing what we have is the discipline. We have the discipline and we want to work. So the money is not the main thing. It's the work that we want to do, that's the main thing. So if we don't have the money, then we just have the discipline. So that's, for example, we always plan like 6 exhibitions in a row. So at least half a year we can print already invitations in one time, you know. So that's much cheaper than every month you have to print again another invitation. So we just try to be very disciplined in that sense, just to cut the bill. And yeah, when we started, maybe we spent like, what was it? Maybe not more than $100 a month on all our costs, you know. So we still keep it very simple in that sense. Just to that the money what we have, we don't need to be totally commercial. So the main exhibition what we do is always, it always starts from non-commercial idea. It's never a commercial thing. And then it's always very important that we do the projects that we want to do. It's not mixed with any commercial thing. But then some of the works is sellable, and then we try to bring them into good collections. So that's our thing. And then also with that we can support the art again, the artists, because there are also not any grants or things from Indonesian government, so they must also survive. So it's a good collaboration.
And we talked about this art market thing yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess somehow, you know, Timothy also benefits by this, you know, improvement of art market.
Yeah.
Some get that more income by the stock.
Yeah.
But what do you see this situation like? Mm. And I guess, you know, those artists, you know, from the very beginning of the community, you work with them, and maybe some of them now become successful or, you know, get some money or get rich somehow. And what do you see your relationship with them?
Mm. Mostly we start with the artists when they're very young. So we really developed a close relationship. And our aim was also to stimulate them and to get them out of the locality and bring them into an international scene and let them develop. So some of the artists became really well known and famous. And especially since the last few months, when there were some auctions held in Singapore and Indonesian contemporary art suddenly became very hot, suddenly also Indonesian collectors started to look at contemporary art, which they not really did before. So suddenly, the artists that mostly we promoted, they were really hunted after. And I mean, it supports artists in many ways. It also benefits us, for example. But I'm just a bit scared for the future. Also because, say, some of the artists that we worked with, who always could put some works in their stockroom, I'm sure that in the coming years that they're not able to produce enough and I already saw that with some other artists that works that they were doing they were just sold straight from the studios because the collectors go straight to the studios and the artists are often not committed to their galleries, you know, also because they are in the end they work with so many galleries. That's also what often happens. You know, once we show some artists, after that they were picked up by commercial galleries in Jakarta. And until now Jogja is not really a commercial center, so it's always, the collectors are always from Jakarta coming to Jogja and pick up the artists and then show them in commercial galleries or they put them in their collections. So I just hope that the system that we have, that we have to make a living half of our commercial part, I don't know how it's going to work in the future and if we still can delay on artists. If we can depend on that, because in the end it will be just very hard to go after the works, you know. And it's not our main thing to what we want to do. We are not the art dealers, we're just more the promoters of the art and get interesting projects together. So I think in the end, in the coming few years, I think we have to change some policies. And happened during the last few months, I think sometimes we just give it up, you know. I mean, why just not be only really from just clear non-commercial? Because I don't know, in the end, if it's this kind of mixture of say having non-commercial projects but on the other hand having some commercial interest, how it's going to work together, I don't know. And also to keep the artist, you know, to keep the artists interested in what we are doing, because in the end also they are so, what I see now already, so occupied with producing works, producing for the art market, the month of the art market. So in how far will they be still interested to join our projects, in which they will be challenged to go new directions or work with different teams or, I don't know, we will see. say, more international, international projects and international demands. I think it's, so far it's very challenging. And also because Indonesia, it's in that sense, it's quite isolated because of the language. It was isolated because of information coming in. of course, through the internet, it has changed a lot. But for example, if you, in the time I was a student in the art school in the 80s, I mean, you could not find any art books in the library, for example, or hardly any. And also, what was written about art, for example, about what happened in Indonesia itself. I mean, this whole communication about what was going on here. I mean, even the Indonesians were not really challenged to write about what's happening in their own development, you know. So it was, were always foreigners who came in, who did research, who wrote, and then published books, and then so connected them with the international art scene. But this kind of the importance of getting Indonesians out of their own situation, it really benefited the artist. I think the artist really they had a great development after they had exposure abroad. They were really it was very good for them to get residencies abroad, to be able to speak English, to articulate themselves, to see what other artists were doing, especially in the 90s. This Biennale of International, especially in the Asia and Asia Pacific area, was very important. So yeah, for example, the APT in Brisbane was very important to connect artists from, especially from this region, because it's not only for their personal development, but also they set up in their own network. So there are, nowadays there are so many exchanges going on, for example, in between Malaysia, Thai, Indonesian, Singaporean artists. I think this is very important as well. So they have to widen their scope. They know what's going on in the other part of the world, except only getting information for what's going on in the West, for example. So I think it's really, really important. And this is also one of our how do you say that? It's very important for us also that there is this kind of network, and that also the young artists they carry that on to build their own network, and so that we not always have to do to connect them to certain to certain venues or to certain events, but they can develop it themselves. I think it's very important, and that's also why we're very concerned with art management. And so it's not that everybody has to stuck always with Chimeti, but we can be kind of a sample or a learning venue where you can learn how to display works, how to write press releases, how to document. I mean, it's just like an entry to develop yourself and to continue something. And this is also what you see for so many artists in Yogyakarta. Nowadays there are quite a lot artist initiatives, and they have their own vision and their own aim and their own goal and their own artists to work with. So I think this is very important. Interesting position, actually. So we've been running Chimeti 10 years under the dictatorship of Suharto. But although we run under it, I mean, we always try to, how do you say that? We never felt the pressure in the sense that we were not allowed to do different things. Of course, there were some borderlines, but everybody knew how to play in between these borders. And also the artists, they know how far they could express their critical views. And it was interesting, you know. And now it's different, because of course now it's more a democratic system here, and the Reformation period, which also changed a lot. I mean, it's still a lot like searching for so many things, and many things are still, nothing is perfect, especially not in this country. So many things have to be questioned and have to be analyzed and have to be opened, you know. But this is what happened. And so we are really in the era of questioning and searching for the, so for example, for the right history or for the right stories behind everything what happens, you know, or happened in the past. And this gives us very interesting dynamics. So, like in the days of Suharto regime, artists, for example, they really worked from the idea that okay, they work against this enemy, this regime, the government regime. But nowadays, they really realize that they are part of the changes. They are part of their own or their own country. If they want changes, it has to come from themselves, you know, instead of always blaming somebody else outside their own scene. So that makes it very interesting. So many artists are connected with say kind of education projects, because they really see that they have to, there are so many things that they have to change or they have to bring forward in through their art, and that makes it very interesting. Okay, this is our weak points, and this we could develop further. And of course, a lot has to do with funding, for example, that you don't have enough funding to look for the right people. But on the other hand, it's also good to work in between these limiteds, you know. So we've done a lot during these 20 years, but we also see all the shortcomings, actually. And yeah, I think one of the shortcomings is still that how to make the artists critical to what they're doing. I mean, still, especially nowadays with the dominance of the art market, everybody has the skills to make beautiful paintings, for example, or to work with craftsmen and make the most beautiful works. But what is the concept behind it? What do you want to show? There's so many images nowadays in this world. What is important to add to this row of images? And I think this is still lacking and still has to be questioned, you know. So and it's also what you often see, you know, because the art scene is still quite small, so, and because everything sells at the moment, so this kind of self-critic is also very much questioned, because in the end, why you should ask yourself, why is this work is more successful than the other? Why you think this is more important for you than the other? Because in the end, everything sells, and so it's not a question any longer, you know? So I think this is a very dangerous development. What is important that we always try to think about Indonesia, not only as Java, because it's Java is like seen as the main island where everything is happening, but Indonesia is so big, and I think it's always very important to keep your eyes open to what's happening outside only the art scene, you know, because the art scene is really dominant, but people who really are, who need the art to develop themselves, they're all around, and it's not only the rich people. So still we have to look for ways how to bring the art further to the field. So what we try to set up in the coming years is to show art in different remote areas. And Indonesia is so big. I mean, it's like, so we have three different time zones in Indonesia already. So if I fly from Yogyakarta to the east of Indonesia, I'm the whole night in the plane, you know. So, and if you go to this kind of different islands, you see that there is no art infrastructure, although there's a lot of, the traditional art is always very strong. So I think there's very interesting part what you can develop, you know, what is kind of undiscovered area, you know, because all the artists from all the other islands, if they want to study art, they all come to Java, to the three main cities in Bandung, Jakarta and Jogja to study art, but they hardly ever go back to develop their thing in the field. So I think it's a big challenge for us to connect different places from Indonesia with contemporary art and see how it works and what is the impact and what is the importance, if there is any importance. So I think this is our main concern. So we've done the international connection, but now we have to set up the Indonesian connection again. Yeah, I think always Timothy is always very much related with Nindityo and myself, and I think this is also why we're so concerned with the art management, and that we try not to. So we host people working with us, doing internships, and we set up an art management program during the last 3 years, also with the idea that we can step backwards and other people can take over. So that's still our aim. But so far, it's always the young people who want to be connected with us, and they want to develop. They also want, now we just worked with one curator. After 4 years, she decided to study again, for example. So she wants to continue her research and her education. So I think it's also very important. So, yeah, what I see is more that we're not so much involved in the art projects anymore, but more behind the scenes and stimulating the art management. And I would love to spend more time on my own art practice again, so, and indeed you as well. So we're always hoping that we find the right people to continue what we started. And I hope, of course, we will in the future. We will find the people to do it. Or otherwise we close the doors and there will be other initiatives continuing, because this kind of sample what we said, you know, I think it's also an important thing. And maybe that's more important that we continue on and on the committee. So far, we got a lot of comments from people who still feel that we are needed. That's also, I think, especially because there's not enough, so the things that we can bring forward through Chimeti is not yet seen in other art spaces. Otherwise, we could have stepped already backwards. So I think that's the thing, you know, for example, kind of discipline, yeah, it sounds silly, but, or... Yeah, because we're already 20 years in the field, or our network and how you have to handle certain things. I try to give it out of hand, for example, with a young curator. But then I also see some things which can go wrong, you know, and I try to... it's also a certain trust, what people have in us, you know. And then... So, I always try... That's one, I think, that's always very important to... The trust is there, especially with foreign organizations working together. But then get other people to develop it. So I think we still have to use this kind of trust from other organizations to work with us. And then still, yeah. Because I think and so far there's still very not enough professional people handling the art scene. So the artists are professional, but the arts, say the art managers, it's still very in the beginning. So as long as this is still needed to develop, I think we're still in. Be an established like a museum or like a real institution. I think it's just more like a laboratory, you know, where artists can be stimulated, when art workers can be stimulated. I think that is just the main thing. And then one day it's not necessary anymore, yeah, we can stop. I think that's the thing. It's not that we have this big picture like, okay, we have this to become this school or this museum or no.